Coffee Park Conversations.
Hello and welcome to An Englishman in Paris, Coffee Pot Conversations. In this, the debut episode, I'm talking to my girlfriend Nev all about food in Paris, and specifically mealtimes and what we like to eat. This then goes around in a few various off-field branches. We were just trying out a few different things, so I wasn't actually going to use the episode, but the interview worked out quite nicely, so I thought, well, why not? Let me know what you think, and you can even leave a review.
Coffee Park Conversations.
Why do I feel like I'm being interviewed?
No, technically you are. So, what do you want to talk about on this one?
I thought you planned it already.
I don't plan, you should know that. We're going to talk about food.
Oh, my favourite subjects.
There we go.
Okay, what's about it?
So, you land at Paris, Gare du Nord. You want some food?
Yeah.
What's the first thing on your mind? Where are you going to go?
I don't know. First thing on my mind?
So you've just stepped off to Eurostar.
What time is it?
It'll be 11:30 in the morning,
usual. Oh, I'd want a boulangerie at that point. 11:30 for me. Just get in there, I'd fancy a boulangerie.
Boulangerie, I know the ideal one. Come straight out. Straight out the main entrance. Down by Five Guys. Walk straight down. Yeah. So we're going back to the hotel.
Yeah.
On the right-hand side. Yeah. But on the left, where I went before...
Doing the half. I wasn't there.
It was one of them artisanal ones. You weren't at the boulangerie.
No, I wasn't at the boulangerie.
You were still with the boys. And it's the one that I ran to and ran back while I was still watching people. It looked like they'd actually come back. They were doing a bit and they were running.
Okay. The
centre. That's a nice one. That was one of them artisanal ones.
Okay.
And that's when I got the little choquettes. I left them in the room for you boys.
Oh, yeah. They were nice.
Yes.
That was nice.
Not so good when they're squished in the bag.
No, I don't know. But they're a bit... They can get squished quite easily, those sugars. Yes. And I don't like them like that. I don't. Then you eat sugar all the times of the day, so...
Yeah, that's it. You get the sugar in the bottom of the bag as well, though. Just like a packet of crisps. Do that with a little...
Well, you mean chucking?
Yeah. Nice oysters, that is.
No, that's shucking. No, that's a shuck. Trucking was with the bottom of the bag of the crisp and you go like that. Like a truck. We used to call it trucking.
Trucking.
Yeah. Do you think that was just rude? Do you think that was just rude as the kids or something? I'm not sure, but I have to check that.
Yeah, but I've had to refrain from making a comment. About being called Yorkie.
I don't know that.
No, but that was a butt-in throwback.
Okay. Well, anyway, I would go to a boulangerie around about that. But at the same time, I'd also want to go to, like, a cafe where... We could sit outside. So do you remember when I came and met you for lunch when I was
in the fifth.
Yeah, in Sabon.
Yeah.
And we went and we sat outside.
Standing opposite the fire station.
Yeah,
I remember.
So around about that time,
I believe it was. A little bit of street familiarity for you.
Don't look at me with that.
Just over the bridge.
I just remember it looked like
Sabon and the Arabic.
Yes, and we just sat there outside and we were just having a bit of lunch. So yeah, depends. I would kind of like that kind of thing where it'd be either a boulangerie and we could pick up and walk about still, but then when you're lugging your stuff around might not be ideal.
Not easy.
But then to sit outside, that'd be quite nice.
With one of your big long coffees.
Yes. Yeah. Though they do struggle with that a little bit.
Don't they just?
But we're getting there.
Interesting fact that I did hear today on the Eiffel Tower, because I'm still catching up, he was talking about Swedish things, and they're one of the highest coffee drinkers in the world. They drink the most coffee, or one
really?
Of the most coffee.
I need to go to Sweden.
Most coffee drinking people
in the world.
Per capita.
Oh,
they do four
that's
or five.
Surprising.
They do four or five a day, but in my head, I'm thinking, what type? Because if they're just hitting like five espressos in the morning.
The Italians do the espressos.
But so obviously do the French.
And French, yeah.
But if they're having like a cafe latte or a frappuccino or something, you can spread them out.
Isn't a lot, but you're not getting that much caffeine intake either. But your milk and sugar and would be quite high, wouldn't it?
So I don't think it's like five number.
Although they're a very healthy nation.
Yeah.
So
apparently. I mean, looking
at there might be oat milk and sweeteners or oat milk or natural sugars. Natural sweeteners, so it could be that.
I was flicking through something the other day as well. I think it was Core over that website that asks all different questions.
Yeah.
It said, why are the Parisians so skinny when they eat pastries and smoke?
And well, I think the smoking cancels out.
Do you think? I don't think so.
Yeah, but a 2-hour lunch break.
A 2-hour lunch break, walking it off maybe.
But a bottle of wine as well.
So. No, actually, I was wondering that myself. So, you know, if you think about it, French food is quite full of calories, if you think about it. And they do a lot of kind of 2-hour lunches, after work, sitting around. And it's very sociable. It's a very social way of... That's all right.
Their eating is very sociable.
It is.
Again, you won't see people eating sandwiches.
No,
They'll sit down, they'll have a picnic on the bench for their lunch, but they won't eat eating
on the go. Nation.
Despite, you know, ripping off the top part of the baguette.
Yeah.
People just do that anyway. Unless you mean it's eat it throughout the day.
No, but like, they do sit and eat a lot, and it's a very sociable, it's a very, you know, food is the centre of everything that they do, so it is surprising in some ways, but I don't know, we don't live and work there, I don't know, but it doesn't strike me as somewhere that's quite stressful in a lot of ways, because they are very sociable. Maybe their well-being capital is quite high, and so actually we know that stress and food and eating things and the relationship with food can be very different, whereas when there's a social aspect, they all might also eat little and often. So they might have their bigger meal at lunch by the looks of things, but then when it comes to after work, it just seemed like there was more appetites or kind of... I'm speaking Italian now, maybe, but
yeah, the perfect would be like little.
Yeah, like little. Yeah, but they have like little. The hors d'oeuvres. They have like little.
But
foods.
The thing is, their main meals generally is going to be lunch. Because if you think of what breakfast is, petit déjeuner.
Yeah.
And then lunch is just déjeuner. So having their little.
And I do think they have their big meals at lunchtime, and I think that probably does help. Although I would sleep.
What, a lunchtime?
Yeah, I mean, if I had a big meal at lunch, I'd fall asleep.
Yeah, but it's a 2-hour lunch, so you're not necessarily having a big meal, you're making more of a gesture about it.
Yeah, I suppose.
And then come dinner time, they're eating that little bit later as well.
Yeah.
Because
the whole day shift.
They sort of finish work, because they've had that 2-hour lunch, they're finishing work about 6 o'clock-ish. By the time they get back, and the kids are settled, big family meals in the little apartments. And then you're doing that, or you're going out. Like when we've been, it's not quieting down. I know it's a capital city and all the rest of it, but
it doesn't quieten down.
Hasn't quietened down. Whereas all around where we are, it's Monday night. It's nothing but you walk around the streets of Paris on a Monday.
Oh yeah, yeah. But then if you walk around the streets of London on a Monday night, it depends where you walk.
In the West End side.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, it's different, isn't it?
But that's generally full of tourists.
But a lot of European countries, if you think about it, European cities, do centre the world around food.
Yeah, it's almost like a Mediterranean culture.
Yeah. You do get that a lot, I find, just from some of the European cities I've been to. Like Rome reminds me very much around Paris. There's a very strong similarity in the culture, in their lifestyle, in the way they do things, the way they approach the food, the timings of the food. It's very, very similar. The busyness of it, because it's quite small as well, like Paris. So wherever you go, you can't get far, you know, that kind of thing.
I mean, some of the European cities that I've been to tend to have a greater nightlife. I know I've not experienced Paris as a youngster, but places like, you know, European cities like Newcastle, Cardiff.
Yeah, but there's nightlife and there's nightlife. There's
Europe.
Yeah, exactly.
But
You're talking about not the more sitting outside enjoying it than the what's it called?
The terraces and the cafes.
Where's called again?
Oh yeah, I know what you mean. I was going to say cappuccino.
No,
but
because of A.
Al Pacino.
No.
Al Frente. Al Dente.
Al Fresco.
Al Fresco.
Yes.
You used to go to school with him.
Did you?
Yeah, Al Fresco.
So like that very kind of al fresco feel, and that is very, because of the weather and it gets so warm, it's still very warm at night.
I have found that everywhere you go, you always take the weather with you.
There is a lot of truth to that, because everywhere I go it seems to be raining.
So at this point in the podcast, I'd slip that track in. But that's only on Spotify. You won't hear it on Apple, iTunes, podcast or whatever.
No.
So
Copyright
issues. It's about
like Spotify. I do like their Spotify.
I just can't get on with Apple Music at all.
I've never used Apple Music. I don't use it. I don't like it. That bores me. But Spotify is brilliant.
We're digressing.
So with the food,
Food. So you land at Gedenoid, you would want a boulangerie, which I'm not sure you would do.
11:30 then?
Yeah, I think you're more like a cafe.
I think, yeah,
like
I think a cafe.
We went to Pod of a Site. Yeah. Was it called to the shop?
When we went to collect your bits.
And we went to get
and we sat outside. It was warm
absolutely.
That day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Yeah.
Or around by the Marais when we sat in San Antonio with the church and the bagel stands opposite and the fisherman.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Oh, that was lovely. I did like that one. That was probably one of my favourite little cafes, actually. That I really did enjoy that. As a mid-afternoon stop, just have a little coffee or something. Little
check
snack.
Your phone.
Just to watch the world go by, that was probably my favourite little cafe. Although I did like the one where we went to go collect your stuff because you could really people watch there when the sun was in on the nice position.
When everyone's coming out the expo,
yeah,
the chinos,
yeah,
and the
yeah,
navy
you could
blazers.
Really pe- yeah, you could yeah. probably people watch at that point. That was quite cool. But you're right, the one with the fishing thing was really nice to sit there. It was nice, nice atmosphere to sit there. But yeah, cafe then. So we've been sitting having a cafe with your stuff.
With the stuff.
With my stuff. From if I come off the Euro, so I'm going to have all my stuff.
Oh, your luggage, yeah.
Me lap, me stuff.
That's it.
And then?
Dinner time.
Oh, see, dinner's very important for me. Like, I think dinner's probably the most enjoyable part for me in Paris with the food. Lunch I do enjoy, don't get me wrong, but I know lunch can be a quick stop or it can be... See, again, it's I go the opposite of the Parisians a little bit, because for them it's the lunchtime, whereas for me, I guess where you're been doing touristy stuff, you're walking around all day, and you probably have stopped and had a little lunch because you want to keep walking, keep seeing things. And so then for me, dinner is like, all right, I want to have dinner now. I want a proper kind of experience the French cuisine a lot more. So it kind of would wave for me, depends on what we were doing and where we were. I'm trying to think of my favourite meals. So if we think about the first time we were there, when I came for work, that was my first real experience of Paris, properly, from 14.
Never made it to the churros hut, did you?
More churros?
Not another churros, crepes. Churros. I'm in Spain for some reason. Yeah. They're the crepe outside the hotel. The first night I stayed there, I went for my little.
Yeah, we never
about.
Did make it there. No, we never did.
Like, oh, I said yeah. The chat, I'll be back. But yeah, I made up for it when we stayed in the 13th.
We did get a lot of crepes. That one, they were good. They were good. But yeah, so dinner is quite important for me. I quite like experiencing the food there. And I like the thing I like about Paris, I think, especially with meals. There's so much choice, too much choice, but there is so much choice, and you can swing between like spending so much money and almost very little money and getting just the most incredible meal, a very home cooked, like Chef Papa to me, when we were in the 20th, had such a home cooked feel to it, and it wasn't expensive at all, whereas you could go to more chain, like the Lyon, that was more of a chain. And then you're like, you know what you're getting, kind of standard, and it's all standard kind of stuff. But then you go to those tiny little things that you sort of turn down the street and there's four restaurants in one.
That's sort of how we found Chez Papa in the 20th.
Yeah.
We got off the metro, starting us around, we looked at one, yeah. It was full of smoke, and then
didn't like
set
that one.
The corner, another corner, and it was there.
That's the thing, you never lost for food. But then, like, we went out in the 20th in the evening on the Friday night when we had the platter and the drinks. That was very sociable because it was in the evening and it was more of a bar, but you still had food and such a. That's a very different experience. That's not your sitting down kind of course meal.
Yeah, whilst it was not, I didn't like the environment.
What, in terms of like food or drink or the.
The whole thing. It was, to me, it was slightly more student-y.
Well, I quite like that.
Being an internal student that you are.
I am an internal student. I mean, to me, it felt like I was at work.
It was nice. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't something I would say, oh, I've got to do it. I've got to do it again.
I agree with you. It was a nice experience in that
for
point.
For me, if we'd just gone and drank, that'd have been different. But having the food there...
Oh, I see.
I think with the duft of music kicking off and...
Yeah,
it was just
the
too
mixture
busy
of everything. Yeah, I guess so.
It almost felt like a really... For me, like a really bad student union bar.
Yeah, it did have that feel to it, actually.
The waiting staff were amazing, but it just...
No, it did have a very student... It did have that feel, actually.
But if we hadn't have gone there, I wouldn't be wearing round glasses.
No, you would not be. You would not be. No, you wouldn't. Although I realised now why I don't really like round glasses. because of a particular series I watched, like a horror series.
Harry Potter?
No, darling. Haunting of Bly Manor, which we still haven't watched, but anyway, we digress. But there's a reason why I don't like round glass.
Is this a spoiler alert or...?
No.
I understand.
You'll see why. Yes, I guess
is this the one where they look in the mirror, right at the beginning, in the mirror, something like that, or there's a car drives past, and I pointed out that...
Car drives past? Yeah.
There's a girl.
Yeah.
Something in the mirror, red eyes or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's in the reflection.
Yeah.
Right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't finished watching the series, but yeah.
I've seen two episodes anyway.
Yeah, but that's why. Yeah. It freaks me out a little bit. But anyway, but then so what we haven't done in Paris yet is gone to the other end of the spectrum that had the real kind of fine dining in Paris.
We've not gone to the Dome.
Yeah, we haven't gone that way.
Du Mago,
no,
or Le Tremble.
No, and I would like... but now I would really like to try like fine dining of Paris. Like not the posh, expensive... you know, astronomical price ways, but you're not getting that real experience. I mean the fine dining that you would experience, I think. Like, you know, here you could do experience dining, you get that. I want to try that. So, for example, when we went to Frenchie here in the UK, they've got one in Pigalle.
Certainly have.
So I would like to try that to see what it's like there compared to here when it's the same chain.
So that's probably as fine dining as
it
go.
Would go.
I wouldn't want to go any higher.
But for me, food is an experience. Like, this is the thing between you and I. Like, for me, I love the taste, the textures, the look of it. I like to see I like cooking. I want to imagine what it would be like if I cook that. I get ideas of cooking when I look at it. I get ideas of presentation. And I like the experience of eating food. For me, it's just something else. It's not a...
I totally agree with that. And the French, obviously, renowned for their cooking. But I don't want to pay, like, €150.
No, I know.
Half a morsel of steak.
No, I know what you mean.
Proper food.
Yes, but that's...
Food the... I want a pie mash. You know, that's what I'm after. Bangers and mash it or that. It doesn't bother me.
I know, I get that, but...
And I want it to be value for money. When we went to Chez Papa 20,
that was nice. Lovely.
It was hearty.
I didn't like the other one.
The other one not as good.
No, but the 20th, I recommend it.
Where was it, do you remember?
No, I do not. I don't know where it was.
It was near where we were.
I
remember that.
But it isn't. But the 20th had some totally different feel to it. There was something different about it. Same things on the menu, but it was just, as most things of chains, it was just cooked slightly differently. Yeah. But they had the 20th, because of the 20th, it had a more...
It had a family feel to it.
Yeah,
it felt like
more
it was selling the chain.
Yeah, they were. And but there was a lot of people eating there that were, I'd say, regulars. Yeah.
And locals.
Very much locals.
We were regulars. But
we were regulars, yeah. Although we were local just for those few days.
Yeah. Which leads me on to that burger place you went to. Outside of the Périphérique, in Montrouge.
Burger place?
I forgot it was called. We went, the last day we were there for the 10K, we walked down through the university bit. And then we walked down to the shopping centre. I can't remember the name of it. And then we walked out. Sounded like Lavache Noir, the Black Cow, the shopping centre. We walked out and then we walked all around Montrouge.
Oh, yeah.
And we had that burger.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I'm there now. Oh, that was delicious. What was that? I don't know what that was called now.
Lush.
That was the best burger I've ever eaten. Like, that was how you imagine a burger to be. Like,
it's equivalent to Five Guys, but
no,
French,
it was nice though.
French Five Guys.
Yeah,
not
five. No, it was really nice, really really nice. It had all the things you expect of a burger. Yeah. You know, the things that you imagine when you
and
hold
even
your hand.
Ask you how you want it cooked.
No, it was good.
Only in France.
The meat was fantastic. Like, it was proper meat.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. That burger was spot on. But then. That pizza was the best pizza I've ever had in my life.
L'Ephemerale, also important.
That was the best pizza I have ever had in my entire life in Paris. You'd think you'd have the best one in Italy, but no.
The funny thing is, when I'm writing the blog, I actually just finished writing about that.
It was the best pizza I have ever eaten.
I was talking about how it felt like it wanted to be
It's just the coffee machine.
It's the coffee machine.
I
know we've had dinner, but even
so. It's just the coffee machine.
But yeah, I was writing about how it felt like it wanted to be Instagram, but it wasn't quite Instagram.
Yeah, from the outside, you think that because of the way it's decorated and stuff.
Such as those places also, which I mentioned in Montparnasse.
So the one where we danced in front of?
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they were very Instagrammable, kind of from the outside.
Yeah.
But then that's what I'm saying, so I've seen...
Pom Pom or something like that.
Yeah, because of all the flowers.
Rue Ladessa. Or something like that, and they had a Ladessa restaurant. There's another one as well.
What would be really interesting, what would be to critique, maybe, I suppose is a better word, is when you look into, when you go on Instagram and you look for the hot spots of Paris, you've got that famous chocolatier, there's a chocolate one on the corner that's Instagrammable. I can't remember what it's called. We saw it. The first time we saw the fountains, where were we? And we walked down this long road. It was not this time we went, it was the other time we went on our own for the main marathon. And we were walking down this long road. And cannot remember for the life of me what road we were on, but it was
how
where...
How many fountains?
Huh?
How many fountains?
It was the first time we saw it. Well, I saw it. And you said to me the story of the fountains.
Oh, the Wallace Fountain.
The Wallace Fountain. And across the road from that was the place that people go to. You said to me, that's one of the Instagram places. They have flowers on the outside and they do the hot chocolates there. I can't remember the street. If I keep walking down the street in my head, I might tell you where I am. I haven't got there yet.
It wasn't Boulevard Saint-Germain.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that. No, it wasn't. We went for a walk that day and we started off, I can see the road, I'm trying to think of something that maybe looked at or distinctive or something. We went into the Monoprix there that was unusual and it had all closed, and when we came out, and I bought the coal pencils, that street.
Sorry, you threw me when you said the first time I went for the marathon. I was thinking back in 22. Yeah, it was Van der Marais. It was a St Paul Monoprix by the church with the red door.
Yes, and down that road.
La Favorite.
Yeah, so
the pink, it's on the corner.
Yeah, in there.
Yeah, no, that's not the hot chocolate place.
Oh, what is that
the hot chocolate place is down the Rue de Rivoli, opposite
the
Louvre.
Oh, okay. Hot
chocolate was like...
But there is something in there that Instagram, your Instagrammers go to in that restaurant. Not the Rue de Rivoli, the other one.
Yeah, it's outside a bit and it's all the pinky stuff.
Yeah, but that is... So what would be interesting is if we did, like, if we looked at what these hot spots are for you on your Instagram and actually give them a go and rate them, because actually, is it the pictures more the likely? Is it the food?
Is it worth Instagram?
Yeah, but I would quite like to do this all about food. Why would I not like that? And I would happily critique it for you. I would be, you know, definitely up there with it, trying to, you know, like, do the whole day. So, you know, do my pre-breakfast, do my breakfast, do my mini lunch, do my little snack in the afternoon, do my dinner, and then maybe do the cocktails in the end. Like, the whole day, and all the hot spots kind of thing. And I'd be there all day.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd be able to eat all that food in one day, but yeah.
So, yeah, I know... Not everyone's going to see my face. My face is just screaming no.
Or maybe not really one day. Maybe the time that we're there.
Really not at all. I'm really not.
I'd love to just like see what the big deal's about.
Again, for me, it's like Café Flore.
What's so special about the Rue de Rivoli, that hot chocolate place people queue outside? I mean, what is so special about that hot chocolate?
Because people film putting cream in hot chocolate. To me, what's more special? That really posh Starbucks.
Yeah, now that is something because of the building and everything.
It's a bit special. But also, you know, my love for Au Pair Tranquille, my love for Jardin de Roy.
Yeah.
It's all the normal places that normal people go to. That to me is what makes it special. As I said, you've got Café Flore, you've got De Magot, the two cafes that all the writers went
to.
And all the stuff like that.
Yeah.
Dome, Rotunda, it's like, I don't understand. The one we went to,
which one?
Le Plume.
Oh, yes.
That was beautiful.
Oh, that was lovely.
Nothing wrong with it at all.
No.
It had a little bit of zhuzh to it.
But even in a very subtle zhuzh.
Absolutely. As subtle as the pizza place.
Left yeah.
It was nice.
It was really pretty. It was really nice. That yeah, what did I have in the Plume again? Oh, I had that burrata. Oh, that was lovely. Yeah. Had the burrata with the... Oh, yeah, I remember now. Oh, I could eat that now.
And
that
I was really probably good. Had a croque madame.
I think you did.
There we go.
I think you might
have.
The
staple diet of any English.
Yeah, I think you did. I think you did. And I had the burrata, which is not French at all. It's Italian. But nevertheless, it was lovely.
But you've always said you only want to eat French food in...
I know, but this... See, when we first went, I was adamant about that. And then the second and third time we went, so we went for my birthday, again, I was adamant about that. But then as the time's gone on, and we've gone so many times, I guess I like to try different things. But Chez Papa, to me, wasn't your typical French food that you imagine in your head at all.
Chez Papa, to me, it was like it was just you going round.
To your grandmother's house having, yeah, like, dinner. It was just so normal French food to me, rather than, yeah, your restaurant-type French food that you expect. So I think that's why I love so much about it.
When we stayed in the night at La Panache...
Yeah.
And we went round to Le Général Fayette, and I think that was our first sort of...
Oh,
proper,
when we first
posh-ish.
It was
meal.
The brown one.
That's it. Yes. Again, on the corner of... Yes, like,
yeah, that was, and that was the first time I've ever eaten like that in Paris ever, and so it was the kind of the poshest we've done. Yeah, yeah, I agree. Although I can't remember what, yeah, but it was lovely. But it felt very, very old, traditional French.
Yeah,
did like how in your head you would imagine 40, like in the 40s, what it would look
but
like.
Again, Rue Monguiole.
Which one was that one?
I would say Le Compass. On the corner, it's the second time we've been, you know, the posh street, the expensive eclairs.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. See, I liked it the first time we went.
First time's much
I didn't
better.
Like it the second time.
Second time felt a bit awkward.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it as much the second time. I don't know why. There was something about it I didn't like.
But I think we were either exceptionally busy, or we were clock watching, or something was happening.
No, I think...
Or when we asked for soup for two.
Yeah, and we got one.
One soup, two spoons.
Who
yeah,
shares the soup? Although we did, but... Yeah, that's true. We pull out most of it.
Yeah. I had the spoon.
Yeah, the spoon. Yeah, I guess so. I just think the second time, I think, you know, the first time that we went, and no disrespect to the restaurant at all, I just think we know what we're looking for in a restaurant more so now. And I think we're so familiar with the food, and I know what it should be like. I think the second time we went, it didn't hit my... What we've had so much better, I guess, and I think that's what it was. Lovely place. I think maybe other things on the menu might be better, but I can't remember what we had. I think we had a burger again, and I think it was too heavy for me. I struggled with that at that time. But it's got a nice atmosphere. Like, I like the style of the restaurant and the atmosphere to it, but I think it's very Oxford Street-y, and so you're going to get that kind of feel on those streets.
But again, when we went to the... Before getting our bibs, again, in the 14th, round the corner from the crypt.
Getting...
Where were we? And the lady had the knee brace on.
Oh, yeah, where were we? What was that called? Oh, it had a really nice name.
It wasn't Rendezvous, was it?
Yeah, it was Rendezvous. It had a nice name, yeah. See, that was lovely.
Up to McDonald's. Yeah. And around the corner from the fish restaurant we went to.
Oh, yeah, I love that fish restaurant. That was so good. I'd go back there in an instant for that seafood.
But that wouldn't have been out of place in Southend.
That would have been
wrong. Wouldn't have been out of place in Leon C, not South
End. Yeah. Oh, that was so good. Like, yeah. I mean, the only reason why I didn't try the oysters was because we were running the next day. But that's the thing. Next time I go to Paris, I want to have seafood platter. Experience a seafood platter. I know you're not a seafood person.
Not
too
seafood
much.
Person. I love scampi.
But I've and had the thing is, I've had seafood in other places, and I would love to compare. For me, it's that. Feeling of like France and their seafood.
Most of it's English anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Controversial.
Damn it. But yeah, like the French oysters, that would be interesting to try.
For you?
Well, for me, yeah, because I have had oysters in various places in the world, so I would like to try them. Like, to be honest, the best ones I've ever had is Cornish oysters, to be fair. They're very, very creamy in texture. I had oysters in Iceland. Unusually, They were quite nice. I think it was Iceland, I can't remember now, but I think it was. But I've had them in different places and it's been really nice. But I would like to try seafood in Paris. I'd like to do Paris differently with the food. That's what I think I love about Paris, is because of the food. Like, you can do food so in different ways. You can just be running around on the cuff, catching food, street food kind of feel, and still have a great experience. You can stop and be a typical Parisian and, you know, have your little breakfast, your lovely lunch, then stop and have a, like, more of a social feel with your dinner. You can do that. You can go really on the other end and just have such a decadent kind of experience with it. I think it's quite nice. That's why there's so much choice there, and that's why probably there's a restaurant in every corner, and you get so spoiled for choice you just don't know where to go.
I was going to mention that we've not had a bad experience.
I have really never had a bad experience with food.
We've had
there.
Really good ones and some not so good, but they've not
but
been
bad.
But we've always gone with how we feel. We look at something, yeah. Check the menus up, look inside.
Yeah, we just know.
Even that first time we came, or you came, and we walked.
Boy, was that a walk.
From yep. The fifth all the way up with Champs-Élysées.
Killed me, that
back
walk.
Down, and then to St. Augustine.
Yeah, that was lovely.
Absolutely.
Again, that was really nice. We had the duck that night, didn't we?
Yeah.
That was lovely. That was my adamant to have French food, wasn't it? Yeah. But, you know, I was adamant, and I was right, and it was really, really lovely. I remember having snails, I think, that night, yeah. And duck. Yeah.
I had calamari and I had one of your snails.
Yeah, yeah,
when
I saw you first.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was lovely.
Yeah, it was nice.
That was really, really nice. And then we were at Latin Quarter the next night, wasn't it? And we went there for the first time. Well, my first time, your second or third?
My second.
Second, yeah.
The first time was while I was waiting for you.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I recognised, and I obviously wrote the little entry, and then went back the following, I think it was the night afterwards.
Yeah.
That was two nights down.
Mm.
And then from there we went to the Eiffel Tower.
Oh God, that was one kill of a walk, but yeah. I definitely walked off my dinner.
That was a walk.
That was a walk. For you to say, it was a walk.
Yeah, it was a walk.
It was a...
And a walk back. Or,
no,
we got the metro back.
Because I couldn't walk back after that.
Yeah, pretty cute, wasn't it?
Yeah, because I just couldn't walk anymore.
We've and as we were getting there... The old twinkle.
Yeah, that's right. It started to twinkle. Yeah, that was really cool. That was really cool. But then we sat out. I mean, it was worth the walk when we got there, because we sat outside, sat on the grass.
Got offered many, many bottles of offered, warm beer.
We did.
Flat champagne. Yeah,
we did, we did. Yeah. But it was really quite romantic sitting there with the Eiffel Tower behind you. And it was lovely. So yeah, it was worth it once we got there. I will give you that. It killed me, but it was lovely.
And we walked back. No, we didn't.
No, we got the metro back.
There was another time we walked back, though, wasn't it?
Walk back with the boys.
That's when we went into Lyon for the first time, isn't it?
Yeah, we walked back with the boys. Got a metro. We walked back a bit and got the metro back halfway as well with the boys. And we went to Lyon because it was difficult with food with kids. That's the thing I did mind about Paris a bit, where it was a bit tricky with kids with food.
Yes, I mean, but I know we've got very anglicised children.
We do.
You get a bit awkward when you're trying to introduce them to foreign food. And
yeah.
It's kebab or pizza.
Yeah. But they didn't do too badly.
Didn't do too bad. And they tried.
They did try.
Jasper loved the steak. Rory loved the mussels.
He did. He also liked the burger and a little pot of tranquille, didn't he? He really liked that burger.
Oh, Jasper did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, their burgers are totally...
Yeah, I know.
They're not called burgers. It's steak
au
chef.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Proper meat.
Yeah. Rory's never been as fussy as Jasper. Rory will eat whatever, most things. Jasper's a bit more trickier, but even so, I thought he did really quite well.
And again, if push comes to shove, we got McDonald's and got quick burgers.
Yeah,
and
but
stuff.
I really
and
did. And we did. Yeah, we did do that a little bit with them in between, like trying to keep them sustained halfway through the days. But I do think it's nice for them to try different foods. And again, there's a variety of choice in Paris, which I think is quite nice.
Yes.
But I think we're not over. We're talking about our favourite subjects.
Absolutely, I know.
I mean, I could talk about food forever. I mean, literally forever.
What? We're going. No, I'm joking. Blimey, done 33 minutes of this so far.
Is that good or bad?
I don't know. That's I'm silent.
No, I don't know what you
want.
I don't know if
you
were still recording.
I tapped the phone just to make sure it was recording.
No, I didn't know if you wanted to stop, if you've had enough, or there was another question around food in Paris you
wanted
to ask it.
All right. I've got two more questions, and then we'll call it a day. And I also need to do an introduction. And then I've got to work out how to cut this, which you know, because of my blog, this won't get cut. There will be no edits. And that will be that, except I will add the intro at the beginning and the intro at the end.
Okay.
So the first question is, aside from the excessive salt on one section of your food, how was the meal on the Eurostar?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was just unfortunate. I still ate it, however. No, it was like someone had taken an entire bottle of salt and just poured it in one section of the entire food, unfortunately. But the rest of it was absolutely fine. So I was eating salt, so that's what threw me off. But it was really nice. You know, it's really weird because it reminded me of airplane food. But I'm one of those weird people who quite enjoys airplane food. I don't know why. But it was just a nice experience. I've never been on the Eurostar and had that experience on there at all. So for me, it was lovely. And the food was really nice. Like, really, really nice. I mean, aside from that little tiny bit, but apart from that, and that was just unfortunate. But the food itself was really nice. I love the way it came. We had the salmon, didn't we?
I'm going to say yes, but I don't remember what it was.
I had the salmon. I'm sure we had the salmon.
We had the same.
Yeah, we had the salmon. And it was really nice. It was light. You had, like, little bread and butter, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then I think the dessert was like a little... Yeah, dessert kind of thing. So it was really nice. I think, you know, for a travel kind of food, I thought it was one of the nicest things I've eaten travel-wise, you know.
Better than the cardboard ham sandwich on the
9:25
to Brighton.
But it was a very nice experience. The tables were lovely. The way it was laid out was lovely. You know, the whole train was nice.
No tea or coffee then, was it?
They ran out of tea and coffee. Although I have had quite a lot of coffee, so I was probably all right with that. But nice cup of tea, we didn't have got a miss. But yeah, it was a very nice experience. I'd do it again. If it was a small price difference, I would definitely, and I don't think it was.
But there are times it is a small price difference.
Yeah, like I wouldn't go out of my way.
But it's not just the food that you're paying for, it's the seats as well.
Oh, the seats were fantastic. Yeah. Like the whole experience of it was lovely. But then in the normal, where we sit normally, I've never really had a bad experience. So, but
apart from the train breakdown.
Yeah, oh God, that was horrendous. But yeah, it was different where we sat. There was a calmer feel to it. It was more space, definitely. It was more room. Even for me, there was more room for like a bed. So yeah, I liked it. I thought it was really nice. It was a great experience for me.
Okay.
My first one.
But not your last?
Not my last.
Although when we go Olympics, it probably will just be standard.
No, it's fine. I think, you know, I think I'll have a problem.
So final question is, go into a cafe,
yeah,
and you order tea or coffee.
Coffee.
What kind of coffee do you order?
I'm going Italian in my head again.
Go on.
I don't know. Lungo is Italian.
So it'll be a cafe allongé.
Yeah, cafe allongé.
So forget the fact they don't actually know what a grand cafe noir.
No.
Sans lait. They have no idea what that is.
No.
And they give you a little biscuit, and what do you do with the biscuit?
Ooh. Well, I don't dip, but I know people do. I would probably just sip my coffee, eat my biscuit, like that.
Okay.
Why? Is there a way to do it?
No, I'm just asking that. That's going to be my question now when I talk to people.
That's how I would do it.
Obviously, when I'm talking to the boys, it's going to be a bit more difficult. Coffee, then go to a cafe.
Yeah, but I would probably... I don't like dipping completely because you lose your biscuit. So I would sip, bite. So I still get that feel of it.
Okay. Cool. Right. Well, that's it. Just got the intro and the outro to do. Exciting times. So that's just where I'm going to get the boys to say this week on Coffee Pot Conversations.
Oh, yeah.
And then coming soon on Coffee Pot Conversations.
Oh, Coffee Pot.
But I also need to do... I've mentioned that in my blog as well.
Coffee Pot, I love that.
Was it a proper coffee shop? I don't even remember what it was, but I had a whole mouthful and I had to change it. But yes, so it's going to be Englishman in Paris, Coffee Pot Conversations, available on Spotify and all other podcasting
love it.
Platforms. So I also just need to introduce who you are, which we'll do now rather than at the beginning, because I can't be dealing with editing. The whole thing for me with this podcast is just boom, plain and simple, like attack. So
so even if you just listened to me for like 45 minutes,
they've got no idea who you
are. They've no idea who I am, and now we're going to tell them at the end, by the way.
But if I was to do it at the front, then this whole conversation now would need to be cut, edited, and I ain't got time for all that stuff because I'm a busy man, you know.
Well, I could have introduced myself at the beginning.
So there we go, introduction time. So
what do I say?
Well, I'll start off by saying this is an Englishman in Paris coffee pot conversations. Today we're going to be talking to Nev, who is sitting in front of me.
For a change.
We're not in a coffee shop at the moment.
No, we are not.
We are in a Wetherspoon pub in East London. About as far away from Paris as you could possibly
be.
In terms of the ambience, not necessarily geography, because America's further away than London to Paris. So Nev is my girlfriend.
And
probably going to be one of the more regular guests. Once we get more of a format.
Yeah, once we know what we're doing.
Yeah,
once we're not experimenting in the way that we are,
So a little bit about yourself, Nev. Just a quick rundown of who you are, where you come from.
Oh, okay.
Almost like blind date.
This is really strange. Okay, blind date. So I'm Turkish Cypriot by background. I suppose that's a good thing to say. I don't have any affiliation or anything to do with Paris as such, apart from all the wonderful times that you have taken me. I've now been there 7 times in the space of, 2 years? I did go when I was 14 with my parents, and I have finally found pictures of when I was there when I was 14, learning my GCSE. So I had to practice my GCSE French. I'm not sure what else you would like to do. You want to know my job? Probably very boring.
Do you have a sort of general background about your experiences and your specialities, that sort of thing?
My specialities?
So like your ethical kind of
things. Of course, yes. So I work for a university, I won't say which one, but you could probably Google me. But my background is in ethics and in philosophy, and I teach a lot around values, professional values. Looking at applied ethics more so than meta-ethics, you know, thinking of the bigger questions of life. I like to just apply them and see in different contexts. So it would be very interesting at some point in the podcast if we could have different points of view, maybe looking at value systems of France, value systems in Paris compared to England, and if there are any contrasts there. Some of the ethical writers of French would be interesting to look at how we apply those things.
Possibly your mate Simone?
My mate Simone?
Yeah.
Who's Simone?
The lady buried in...
Yes, Simone de Bois.
Exactly,
those sorts of things. So that would be quite an interesting for me, but that's just me. No one else might be interested in that. But, you know, I've always liked the idea of contrasting things, which is why I was talking about the food. So I do like to explore belief systems, and I'd love to do the cultural side of Paris. Looking at cultural heritages and looking at how, you know, philosophy, culture influences their life. Just their value system compared to the UK would be quite interesting.
Well, strike and get what you want is one way.
Yes, that is one way. But then there's the ethical questions around that. I mean, even when we look at the way COVID was handled in different countries, that's been some of my writing pieces when we've looked at how ethics played a massive part in decision making. Or not, as some of ours, politicians did not use their listen to anything to do with their ethic advisors. But nevertheless, other countries dealt with it slightly differently, and it's just very interesting, particularly looking at human rights. So that's very much ingrained in Paris. Human rights is very much so. Here we handle things very differently. So it's quite interesting to look at ethical values, belief systems and cultural viewpoints for me. That's kind of something I'm very interested in.
Okay, and that will be on one of our more serious
one of the serious ones. Episodes, maybe not when we're talking about food, but that I would love to have a conversation with somebody about that one day, maybe jointly. That would be quite interesting for me. Well, maybe only for me.
Yeah, well, people can always skip an episode.
Everyone can skip an episode.
Digital media is amazing.
Yeah, it's boring. I'm just going to skip that one. But that would be pretty cool.
I could make that like a subscription-only episode.
Yeah, I wouldn't even do that.
Although you have written some chapters for books, haven't you?
I have written some chapters for books, very much around applied again. So looking at ethics for paramedics, I did look at complementary therapies, which is very, very big in Paris. The healthcare system is very different to the UK. So I do have an aromatherapy background. Again, I learned a lot about aromatherapy through France and through Provence, where perfumery was one of its origins there. And a lot of my interest in aromatherapy came from France. Gade Fossé is one of my favourite people who did a lot around aromatherapy. So there's a lot of people that I know who did a lot of work. I did, interestingly, when I was at uni, I didn't do the one thing I should have done post. It was just after I graduated. No, I should have gone. There was an opportunity to do CPD, to go to Provence for the week and learn how to distill lavender oils and things like that. And I didn't do it, like an idiot. So that was one of my regrets. I should have gone and done it. But I didn't. Maybe I've still got time, I don't know. But, yeah.
But moving sideways from there, we will do the perfume.
We will. I want to do the perfume, yes, the perfume museum. I'd like to make my own perfumes. Yeah, something I've always been interested in as a little girl. I used to have a perfume set. So I think part of the reason why I went into aromatherapy was because I could make my own oils. But I used to make my own creams, gels and things like that. And again, a lot of the influence was France. It really was. It was very influential in my aromatherapy practice. So, after all those years, but it was. So, there you go. That's a little bit about me. Very boring.
Lovely. And I'm not going to bore people with me because I probably did that in the first bit. I don't remember. So there we go. So thank you for.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for dinner.
You're very welcome for dinner. Not quite Parisian food as we just talked about, but nevertheless.
And thanks for the coffee pot chat conversation. I might even now change it. Coffee pot chat.
Yeah, I like it. You're very welcome. There we go. And good luck to whoever's listening.
Thank you very much. It's just going to be me and probably Rory, my eldest, because he does try and support the show. Bless him.
He does. He does. He's very supportive.
Yeah.
He's lovely.
Absolutely. And I've got my youngest, Jasper. He just doesn't care about much.
He probably listens to the first 3 minutes of it and think he's bored.
Yeah.
And then he won't even hear that we're talking about him right now.
Absolutely. He'll be too busy with the Xbox.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So let's call it a day.
Thank you very much. 45 minutes in. Thank you very much.
Cool. Right. Let's just hope that we've got one recording that works. So
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
See you soon.
See you soon.
Coffee Pot Conversations.
Thank you for listening to Coffee Pot Conversations, hosted by an Englishman in Paris. For the information that was discussed during the show notes, any links I was going to put in, please find them at buymeacoffee.com/ an Englishman in Paris. Not actually sure why I say /. We don't use / in website addresses. So it's buymeacoffee.com/ an Englishman in Paris. There you'll find all different bits and pieces. Just search through for podcasts to listen to the podcast. Show notes to find the show notes. It's broken down in seasons and in years. So this is season one and it's the year 2024. It's the first episode, so that's a winner. It'll probably be at the bottom of the list by the time that you get to this. Although you've got the three pre-launch episodes. And there's three of those, so it'll be the fourth down. But anyway, you'll find it. You're clever people. You could probably even search for it using words in a little search section. So it's buymeacoffee.com/ an Englishman in Paris under show notes for the show notes. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank Nev for being my first guest, my future co-host on certain episodes. And she allowed me the chance to sit in a pub, work out how the microphones work, how interviews go, give me a little bit of time to go through editing software, such as now, and also taught me how to check a watch, because our 20-minute conversation turned into a 45-minute chat. In fairness, I think it worked out quite well. So this is Paul, an Englishman in Paris, hosting Coffee Pot Conversations at 6:30 in the morning on the 9th of January 2024. Time for a little jingle.
Coming up on Coffee Pot Conversations.
We have interviews, we have recollections, we have points of view. We may even have a script or a sense of direction. Who knows? So don't forget to follow me at An Englishman in Paris blog on Instagram, where you will find more link details to discover where else I'm hiding. And I'll see you all next time on
Coffee Pot Conversations.